Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. Grapes Coda was answering T.S. Apostolos Super Chat. T.S. Apostolos was saying Scott Adams and Kanye have the similar desire for wanting a scapegoat. Their marriages ended poorly publicly, and they desire blame placed somewhere. Wouldn't it be nice to immolate a goat and be done? No, I totally disagree. And Grapes Coda was answering to this. Doesn't mean that their wrong life-altering events can be the catalyst to make the bold decision to admit truths. It's not because a divorce would lead you to adopt a certain perspective on life that this perspective is wrong. You're falling for the propaganda here of the typical female way of nagging, dismissing men because they assume it is the fault of males if a divorce happens, when in fact the statistics show that it is females initiating divorce. It is females in large majority that are causing these divorces to happen. But in the nagging female view of humanity, the responsibility always goes back to the male. And so you're falling for this gravely here. When you have a divorce, what happens is you are no longer socially inhibited because you don't have to maintain face in front of a normie woman who is trying to shape your thoughts and shape your statements and make you feel shame for if you were to get interested in some truths. So it's absolutely natural for someone after a divorce to be accessing truths that he wouldn't before. It's simply what man is without the social inhibition of wanting to please a female. That is what it is. Now, as far as scapegoating, I don't know that Scott Adams is scapegoating anything. Scott Adams is consulting a survey about the opinion of blacks on white people, and it makes him realize things. That is not scapegoating. That is observing reality, engaging with the empirical world. going to the gym as a man is becoming harder and harder with time. This is the current situation in the gym. Oh my God, you creep. This is going on my TikTok. And the poor guys are in front of these women and they're just like, I'm just trying to work out. Absolutely nice meme. I love it. Beautiful meme. That is so much what is happening right now. It's like, okay, so you install a camera there. You come into sexy clothing for the purpose of your TikTok career. So basically, you are displaying this ass to millions of men potentially, but one more man, that's your issue. One more man is getting it without you getting a follow, without you getting a notification, without you getting a dollar on your OnlyFans. That is what you're pissed off about. It's that you have become such a whore that you are giving on the internet for money and for fame. You are giving things that is very easily rippable by a guy who actually just wants to work out for 5 minutes on an exercising machine behind you. That is the issue you take, and you are a whore. Waco, Texas, 30 years ago, the standoff begins. 86 men, women, and children would be burnt to death weeks later when Janet Reno ordered an assault on the Mount Carmel Center. Never forget. What a shocking event of federal overreach of the police state, the people realizing that the police state is a thing in America and that they will go after you, and that if you are ready to pay with your life, your defense of your own freedoms, they will take your life. T.S. Apostolos says, it's perceived as scapegoating, optics matter, JF, and the result is Scott and Kanye get scapegoated for engaging in a poor way. They will learn, hopefully. Well, T.S. Apostolos, I think you are I think you've been watching Nick Fuentes too much or something. You have been taken on the field of optics rather than truth. Of, oh, well, they perceive it, so that's what matters. Those are bad arguments. Don't start talking like this. Thinking like this, that would be my counsel to you. If you start thinking like this, you are letting your own brain be manipulated by the other side, by the leftist. You're not going to get anywhere with this. You are failing at thinking independently and pursuing the truth no matter what. Naberius says there was a Netflix miniseries on Waco that was really great. All right. Thanks for letting me know. Rack Reacher was sending a super chat about erythritol. Here is the super chat money for my erythritol question. And he was sending this question. Jeff, a new study that the healthy and natural sweetener erythritol may contribute to blood clots and heart attacks. What are your thoughts on this? I am conservative in my eating habits. I generally do not eat anything that my grandmother would not recognize. Absolutely. This study has been attracting a lot of attention. The artificial sweetener erythritol and cardiovascular event risk. So they have looked into a natural population and circulating levels of multiple polyol sweetener, especially erythritol, were associated with incident risk for major adverse cardiovascular events. So they have recorded the blood levels of erythritol and other sweeteners of the same kind, and they end up concluding that major cardiovascular events, which are at 1.80 in the general population, for the fourth versus first quartile, so that is those who have most erythritol and those who have the least erythritol, the risk switched to 2.21, but the confidence intervals are very big, the samples are small, but it would indicate the beginning of a link between some sort of cardiovascular thing, perhaps clotting, erythritol. Now, keep in mind that erythritol is produced in the body. Here's another study where they describe the inner production of erythritol. Erythritol is a pentose phosphate pathway metabolite and associated with adiposity gain in young adults. So this study in 2017, PNAS, which is where I published my PhD thesis paper, PNAS, they have already identified first that you have pathways inside your body that produce erythritol. So we don't know. The people in the Nature study, the recent study, were they consuming erythritol or were they just producing erythritol? It would seem that perhaps they were producing erythritol, and the authors are speculating on potentially genetic. You know, you may have a genetic that leads you to produce a lot of erythritol internally, and that would expose you to the higher cardiovascular risk. I think it's an interesting hypothesis. But yeah, you have this triad of, okay, we already knew that it makes people fatter. Now we know it makes people, there's something on the pathway of thrombosis and clotting and cardiovascular events in the end. So you have this triad where generally, you know, fat is associated with cardiovascular event, but it doesn't have to be through the fat. It could be a common cause sometimes, like erythritol production, that causes both at the same time, or that has consequences in both domains for different reasons. So, another note is that erythritol is ultimately a product of sugar. And there are all sorts of natural ways in which you ingest erythritol. Erythritol, it's not just one of these artificial sweeteners that is completely chemical and that doesn't occur in nature. Like aspartame occurs in, I believe it occurs, but in a very specific, I think it was discovered naturally, but I'm not sure. Leaving this aside, aspartame, you will not eat aspartame if you eat an apple. But erythritol, you might have, because the process of fermentation ends up producing a little bit of erythritol. So you can have erythritol in fermented fruits, fermented juices, and even, you know, when you eat an apple, part of it is already fermenting, inevitably. That's, in fact, an apple that tastes good and that tastes more and more, you know, mature is a process of fermentation partly, and it doesn't need many days before a pear left on the counter will start tasting a strong taste of alcohol. And the reason is it's fermenting. So you're going to have erythritol in there. So don't think that you are spared the risks of erythritol because you don't consume specifically erythritol as an artificial sweetener. The good news from the study is that the risks are perceivable only at the very high erythritol level, the quartile 4. So 75% of people end up in quartile 1, 2, 3, and their cardiovascular risks are pretty bunched together. It's only in the very high erythritol concentration that the risk was visually, you know, separated from this group. I'm not saying that there's no effect at low dose. You may have small effects, but the major effect, and in fact, this major effect is not condemning you to death. We're talking the most major effect is 1.80 risk switch to 2.21 risk. So it's like, it's not a major increase. It's not like you eat erythritol, you're going to die. It's more like a slight risk factor adding on top of other things. But yeah, you know, based on this study, what I would say is, yeah, don't use erythritol as an artificial sweetener. It's a new study. I know that Mama JF was having me buy erythritol, you know, at Bulk Barn and these things. I don't think we should use this, Mama JF. I think you should dump the erythritol in the trash because, you know, I don't want to die, and why not? If there are alternatives, as far as I can tell, sugar might be a better option at this point. Go Away says, I've been on a zero sugar diet for 3 weeks now, and my rate of masturbation has halved, would recommend. Okay, so you want less masturbation? That was your target? Well, it seems that you have achieved it. Horrific moment, a man casually loads his gun and executes a homeless man on St. Louis sidewalk. This was pretty crazy. There are guys filming this, and the guy is super relaxed, just loading slowly his gun, putting the bullets one by one in the magazine, or he's trying to put the magazine in the gun. And apparently they had a little conflict on the other side of the street, before this, and you know, they're just filming this guy, and this guy is just like putting his bullet in his guns and trying to fit the magazine, and he just shoots the guy. Now, you don't see it in the video, the moment of shooting, because as soon as apparently his head would explode, because you do see the last moment where the gun is on his head, toward his head. Well, that may be actually the last frame. And then the guy who's filming just looks away and pulls the camera away. So all you hear is the noise, really. But absolutely, you know, cruel and just random murder based on some conflict they had. I don't know what they said to each other before. The police had been called, and I believe they had heard a gunshot. But the first gunshot that led to the police call, that wasn't a gunshot toward him. I guess it was a warning shot or a shot in the air. And man, what can you say? I mean, it's a horrible murder. The guy is 23-year-old who committed this murder. He's been arrested. Elon Musk stands with Bayesian AIs. He says there are woke AI, there's closed AI, and then there's based AI. Absolutely wonderful. I think Elon Musk is getting tempted at being a little more edgy, you know, standing a little bit with Scott Adams, but not fully. Quite interesting the trajectory that Elon Musk is taking while he's not, well, while he has freedom on Twitter now, because he's the owner. And so it's interesting how much of society he could bring with him. Because based has been used by the left, so it's not like the term is totally new to the normie, but used in that context of AI, it can only mean a right-wing interpretation of based. This is not Vaush based. This is right-wing based, because the problem with AI is that they are woke, they are leftist, and a based AI would be certainly more right-wing. Steven Robinson says, buffering video quality regarding the set stream, same problem. I don't know. Are people experiencing issues? Let me know. I think it's fine here. You know, the boy who was attacking a teacher in this video that we've reviewed on the show, so he viciously beat his teaching aide unconscious because she was retaining her Nintendo, Nintendo DS or whatever that is, will be charged as an adult and faces up to 30 years in prison after being arrested 3 times for battery in 2019. So it was not the first time he was caught in those situations. A problem of violence, obviously. Not surprising here. All right, let's talk about Ukraine. It's been a while we haven't updated on Ukraine. Let me just find on the map what I'm looking for here. Krematorsk is here. Okay, so that is the situation. That is the situation in Bakhmut. This is the most hot point of the war right now. Just southeast of Kramatorsk, you have this this station, which is Bakhmut, which is critical to completing the takeover of the DPR region, you know, Donetsk. So it's really the last stand of the Ukrainian army, and they have tried everything to stay in there. I keep losing it on my map. Where is Kramatorsk? Kramatorsk. I keep losing it. Where the heck is it? Kramatorsk. Where is it? My God, I'm totally lost. Because there are so many of these pincer movement-like regions. Okay, there it is. I got it again. Bakhmut. Bakhmut is being re-equipped, and soldiers are being sent there constantly to die to Russian bombardment. I find this situation extremely frustrating. It's frustrating to see the cynical approach of Zelensky with this place, where it's like, oh, we're just gonna, we can see that you're stuck in a pincer by the Russian forces. At this point, you got 24/7 bombardment of Bakhmut, so whoever you send there, in fact, they were reporting that the hope for life of a Ukrainian soldier sent there is around 4 hours. Most frontline Ukrainian soldiers killed within 4 hours. What is the function from a military perspective to be sending waves of people to die every 4 hours? This was a statement from a retired American Marine fighting in Ukraine. He told the ABC News, The front lines are a meat grinder where soldiers survive an average of 4 hours. And I've seen some footage from the front line, and you're stuck with there are soldiers. They are told you have to go there, and they don't want it. They say, I'm tired, I can't walk anymore. Sometimes they just freeze in place and they refuse orders, and then they get accused. Apparently there is some punishment process for this kind of soldier. But the thing is, they have the choice between the punishment they would go through on the Ukraine side or dying in 4 hours. So the clever thing to do here is to resist in some form, to say, hey, I can't advance anymore. Amalgam Zero says, yeah, I saw some awful trench footage. Yeah, it is quite shocking. But that is the meat grinder moment for, you know, there had been a couple of sieges like this, you know, Mariupol in the south, but now it's the progression toward the western axis, toward the western front line. And Bakhmut is perhaps the most brutal that we have seen. Someone sends a super chat. Stockpile food and water. South Africa faces civil war conditions if the power grid collapses. A country of 60 million is on the verge of collapse amid rolling blackouts and warnings of civil war scale unrest. See, this is why the whole idea that, oh, we can create a space for white people there. What was it? Orania? Orania, the whole idea that a small community of white people can somehow survive in these places. The problem is when shit hits the fan, you're not going to have your beautiful cameras. You're not going to have your whole system of security. You're going to be very easy to attack and penetrate for a hostile force. And ultimately, it's going to boil down to you're white. They're going to kill you. That is just what's going to happen. So I've never been a big fan of, you know, of commending the effort of white people who stay as minorities in these countries, because I know it's a matter of time. I'm not giving much chance in the next decade or so to white people in these countries. Not only are you subjected to the higher murder rate, but eventually when shit hits the fan, you're going to be subjected to complete genocide. Dr. Deadname says the Boers are actually doing really well now, considering the huge odds against them. I mean, you can survive for a while. The problem is, can you survive a civil war? Because it's going to get down to it at some point. It's going to be a civil war. Zelensky, meanwhile, has been sounding a little bit depressed on questions. And yeah, some random bloke was saying this is the West's future. Yes, it's we are clearly in pre-genocidal times, and there is no point at which the demographic progression that reduces white people's presence on Earth, there's no point at which it stops. The only point at which it stops is when white people are such a minority and they live so far that they're basically unreachable. That is when the white genocide stops. But that's why I'm moving north. There is no point that it's not like, oh, now whites are 25% of our country. We're going to go easy on them. No. The more of a minority you are, the more you will get attacked. Just see how much they attack you when you're 50 to 60% of the US, and it's going to get rougher and rougher. There is no point where it stops. Zelensky hints at withdrawing from the Russian encircled Bakhmut out of options. Only a month earlier, he was fully standing by the strategic city of Bakhmut, and getting out of it was out of the question, but a month later, the narrative has dramatically shifted amid reports that the Russians are shelling Ukrainian positions around the clock, and as complaints from Ukrainian front lines persist of not enough ammo supplies to keep pace with the Russians. This is what the videos I have seen seem to show. It's that just soldiers being sent to the front line with not enough bullets, a single gun, two guns, and they have nothing to face the oncoming flow of Russian assault, and they are expected to basically just go die. And they know they're going to die. Meanwhile, there are attacks toward the Russian side. The mass drone attack unleashes chaos, air raid sirens inside Russia. Russia has come under attack by multiple drones, with one of those drones reportedly causing a fire at an oil depot. So apparently it is on the axis around Crimea here and deeper into Russia. So we're still talking about border wars here, but an attack based on drones. Ariel Suarez says, I recall you once called it cold winter of death, JF, but will that be a viable solution long term? You mean living in the cold? I do believe it's a long-term solution. You know who still lives in the cold? The Inuits. The Inuits, the Native Americans that live close to the Arctic Ocean or in the Northern Territory of Canada. They don't seem to have been much affected by European domination of Canada. And I believe that they are a perfect model. I would go somewhere, I would aim for somewhere between where the Inuits go and the Amish. The Inuits and the Amish, we should just aim straight for this lifestyle. Combine the two and you have a superpower. So yes, I believe it's a very long-term solution. Because it's always possible to move further if the climate changes. Like, if it becomes habitable to everyone, you just move to a colder place. But I think that for hundreds of years, it is a viable solution. And it is, when you think about it, it is what it's always been. White people have appeared in Europe and they survived there with white skin because it was colder and there was less sun. So it's totally what white people should do. They should just do what worked for tens of thousands of years. It's going to work again. It's going to work still. The face of Zelensky doesn't look very positive here. He seems a little tired. Ukraine's biggest challenge is defending the city of Bakhmut. Zelensky said in his nightly video message, the most difficult situation still is in Bakhmut and the battles that are essential for the defense of the city. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat, just like Rack Reacher and Ariel Suarez and TS Apostolos have done. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. If you'd like to see that dollar button and you don't see it yet, make sure you add a payment method to your Odyssey account. TOS-1A bombardment, you know, this rocket launcher of sorts that sends flaming missiles. TOS-1 bombardment over Bakhmut. Why would you send people with rifles in there? We have some guy here describing the destruction of the city. Everything will be Ukraine. Putin is calm. Well, I don't think you're going to be keeping Bakhmut for a long time. Here we see a sky view of Bakhmut as some bombs were dropped. You can see the destruction of the buildings. Almost no building has been left unaffected. Complete destruction of the city. And here I have a Russian journalist that was embedded with the Wagner forces, and he was able to film the Wagner forces. Although this was recently released, it seems that this is from a moment perhaps many weeks ago, because there was no snow perhaps many months ago. But we get insight into the forces on the Russian side, the patrolling around Bakhmut. This is the ensign of the Wagner group with a kind of... Is it a skeleton face on there? So apparently they're moving civilians there.
Расскажите, кто вас выводит?
Вагнер.
А как вообще там обстановка сейчас?
Накаленная.
Накаленная? А как вы СУ себя ведут с мирными жителями?
Ну,
агрессивно.
Агрессивно?
Да. Вы долго сидели? Долго ждали эвакуации?
Ну, 6 месяцев.
А, то есть вы ждали русских, да?
All right, so that is what we have from Bakhmut from the various events. And even Reuters reports Russian forces hammer Ukraine's Bakhmut in quest for breakthrough in war. Russian forces on Tuesday pressed forward their weeks-long drive to encircle and capture the eastern Ukrainian city of Bakhmut, where the Ukrainian military described the attacks as constant. Taking Bakhmut, the scene of some of the year-long war's bloodiest battles, would be Russia's first major prize in more than 6 months. It would open the way to seizing the last remaining urban centers in the Donetsk region, one of four Moscow claims to have annexed. So yes, it's the completion of Donetsk. That's why it matters to both sides. Rack Reacher sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, I can't think of question, but this is the first time I've watched the show from the beginning. You are usually a little Quebecois elf in my hair while I do yard work. Also, a small monetary signal in appreciation of the MP3 download link. Feels like old-style internet stuff. Yeah, that is what it is. I love old-style internet stuff. And let me tell you, a lot of people are downloading the MP3. I got traffic data from Cloudflare. I don't know. I would have to calculate how many people that is, but we have hundreds of gigabytes of just MP3 flow. And so I don't know exactly. I think I had calculated it at the beginning when I made it available, and it was about 200 listeners. I think it's perhaps doubled since. So a lot of people need that MP3. Who would have known? Silver Spider, and thank you so much for the super chat. Silver Spider sends a super chat. He says, hey, Jeff, I started reading a book called Euclid's Window. Very interesting, until it starts claiming that Europe only had enlightenment because barbaric flat earth Christians stole the knowledge of ancient Greece that Africa and the Middle East preserved. Is this what they teach in history now? Oh my God, I have no idea, but I'm starting to hear that kind of thing, from especially pro-Islam scholars who want to make the case that somehow Islam is not backward from a scientific perspective. And you start hearing this kind of stuff. And it's all, the whole goal of it is to deprive white people of credit. that is what it is. So call it out for what it is. Don't let this be convincing to you. It's bullshit. You're just trying to say that white people being successful was kind of a random thing and kind of stolen from people, and kind of rid the success of white civilization rides on the back of other civilizations. It is such a petty behavior. Breaking Bread says, "I like your accent, sir." Well, it has been my accent for a long time, although we've been reviewing old streams of mine, and we realized, holy shit, I was much more French back then. I've taken some tricks to speak English in a more English way. I still have a major accent, but back in the days, I was talking like really a Frenchman who doesn't know much English. Colin Oxworth says, "Jeff, did you see the video by the guy that made 4chan GPT? He trained ChatGPT with posts from Slash Poll, and it ranks as the most truthful chatbot in the truthful QA benchmark." I didn't check this at all. I will be keeping in note your chat there, because if it is truly measured as more accurate, I want to engage with it, because I want some truths. I want to speak some truths with the 4chan ChatGPT. Mika sends a super chat. He says, "Your MP3 service is kick-ass. Much appreciated. Thank you." And it's so fascinating because I have a dot. The fans of computing will like this one. I have a .bat file, a batch file in Windows. Every night, as I close Streamlabs OBS, I activate the .batch file. The .batch file takes my whole browser window, makes a list of the internet links I've been using in the show, dumps it in a text file, renames it to the episode number, loads last.txt, and last.txt has the episode number of the last episode, and now it increments it by one, finding the current episode number. Then it loads FFmpeg to take the MP4 file coming from Streamlabs, dumping it in an MP3 automatically, and then uses WinSCP to upload the MP3 file to my server, such that 2 minutes after the show ends, you get your MP3 file is on my server, your HTML file is on my server, and people can start downloading the podcast. It's such a beautiful, harmonic performance. You know, it's like a symphony of scripts, automation, and all I have to do is click a single .batch file. And it was portable. When I transferred to my new computer, just a little change in the directory names and stuff, and it was all good. How long did it take to build this batch file? Maybe an hour, because I had to do some research. I'm not a specialist of batch. You know, and it's weird to make if test in this and, you know, find the latest file in a directory. All of this is quite demanding. It's not a script that is designed to be readable very much or human understandable, but it works. Geo Brew says, "JF, when is the next musical stream? The audience would love to hear some patriotic Quebecois ditties sung en français." Well, my piano is there. I was thinking recently, I'll try to make it happen, but I'm so lazy to be pulling this piano out of the load of crap that's located above it. It's really just this. I'm lazy. Sorry. All right. Go away, says Jeff. "You could have had ChatGPT write your batch file and it would have taken you less than 10 minutes. Yeah, and then you wouldn't know what it does and you wouldn't have learned anything in the process. Good job, go away. That's the way to remain stupid. Scott Adams is... Whoa, Scott Adams is going slowly toward where I said he would converge. I said a couple of days ago, according to my calculation, Scott Adams will be in a major clash with the Jewish community in 72 hours from now. We're almost 72 hours later. I don't know exactly. We're almost 72 hours later. And Scott Adams is going at it with Jonathan Greenblatt on Twitter. And calling him a race grifter. Oh my God, a very good on edge of Jonathan Greenblatt by Scott Adams. Here, let's listen to it.
Right, so Jonathan Greenblatt. Now remember, there are some people who are, you know, race and ethnic grifters. Grifter being somebody who makes their money by...
Is there a dog whistle in there? Because, of course, he's going to specify what I'm talking about is they make money out of racial concerns. But the conception of an ethnic grifter could very well be thought of as an ethnic impersonator, which is something that is often thrown at the ADL people, you know? This kind of double racial play of you're white, you're not white.
Bringing up race stuff. Jonathan Greenblatt, I believe, could you give me a fact check on this? Doesn't he get paid to complain about stuff like this? If you get paid to look for injustice, how much are you going to find? It's like somebody...
Absolutely beautiful. The incentive of the race grifters is throwing them into an infinite cycle of finding hate.
He was a ghost hunter. All right, I'm going to pay you to find ghosts. How many did you find? Well, are you paying me by the ghost? Yes, I am. I found quite a few. Found quite a few ghosts. So Jonathan Greenblatt, who gets paid to find ghosts, he found some ghosts. Good job. And he would like to have me apologize for what I don't know. And then he would have me re-educated. Do you believe that I need to be re-educated? And what exactly would they tell me? Would the re-education say you should move closer to people who don't like you?
So he's still holding to his original point, and that's what's beautiful with what he's done, is that he sticks to a single point, which is, should you stay around people who abuse you or who generally hate you? Should a Jew stay in a room where there's 50% neo-Nazis? And that works beautifully here. So he's still able to stick to it and say, well, re-education. What are you going to do in that re-education session? Are you going to tell me that a Jew should stay in a room with neo-Nazis? That is so beautiful.
Is that what the education would be? It's a good strategy in life. If you know there's a demographic group that has been poisoned by the media to be primed not to like you, should you move close to them? Well, I think the re-education would say that I should. So I'd like to know more about the re-education, if somebody can find that out. Would it be teaching me that you should spend more time with the people who have been primed to dislike you and think you're the problem? Huh. Hartwig doesn't count as an education. You might.
Absolutely beautiful. I think we are approaching the finale of the great unfolding of the Scott Adams mind liberation, and it's absolutely beautiful. I encourage him to continue what he's exposing. Of course, it's not new. We've talked about this. We've exposed this, and there were people exposing it before us. But it is so great to see this kind of mind who's still very much a liberal leftist, you know, still very much in that thinking, in that mindset. He's not a far-right person by any measure. He is tempted at times with some conservative ideas. That's it. It's beautiful to see a mind like this bring along his audience toward this direction. Elon Musk is back to richest man on earth. God Emperor Elon is back to richest man in the world. Wow, that was fast, and now he controls the tweet. It's unbelievable how much he got dropped by the newspaper and how much they went after him. And they were like, he's not even the richest man anymore. He spent so much on Twitter. It's going bad for Elon. It's getting hard to put a grip onto Twitter. And it's like, no, he's already back to richest man in the world, because apparently, I think it's Tesla that had a 100% rally in the electric car maker stock from its low in January. And so now, not only is he still the richest man in the world as he was at the start of this whole crap, but on top of it, he controls Twitter, and Twitter could be a game changer still, as of today, in the cultural unfolding of society. So beautiful. What else did we have in the news? A Yankee tax proposed by South Carolina lawmaker. A South Carolina state senator wants to hit new residents with a $500 Yankee tax for moving to the Palmetto State. I love this idea. It's the idea that, hey, we are spending every year contributing to a desirable place to live. You suddenly want to be in that desirable place because we kept it well, we managed it well, and we didn't let it crumble to poverty and demographic instability. You're going to have to pay a little more. You're going to have to pay for all those years where you haven't been paying. Now, John Drake says it should be $50K. Exactly. At $500, it's like, it's not going to be a problem. In fact, the welcome tax in a leftist state and leftist city is going to be much worse than $500. So it's ridiculous, but it's a start. Let's be like the leftist and say, hey, you have to have skin in the game in terms of keeping this world desirable. And if you've not been here for a while, you're going to have to pay a little more because we were maintaining it for you. Charlemagne sends 100 LBC. Thank you so much. He says, hey, Jeff, we've never interacted before. Is it true? I've seen you on the chat for a long time. And in fact, I've seen some LBC super chats from you, haven't I? Anyways, he says, we've never interacted before, but I also have a video channel. Just wanted to say I moved from the deep southern USA to the far north to get as far away. You have the right idea for sure. My old community is declining into lawlessness at record pace. All right, I will have to delete your super chat because of a specific phrasing. But much love, and his channel is Charlemagne, so you can go see him. John Goras says, between being betrayed by his thought wife, being misled about the vax, and now this, Scott Adams doesn't give a fuck anymore. Yeah, that would be a great movie. Like, I mean, people were making parallels and memes on the movie Fallout, or is it Fallout, the movie with Michael Douglas? Is that what it is? Anyways, and they were putting Scott Adams on the cover. T.S. Apostolos says, I guess optics do matter, JF. Haha. No, when I have to delete a tweet, when I have to delete a... Falling Down, that's the name of the movie. When I have to delete a super chat or a chat, it is simply for compatibility with the rules of the platform. It is not an endorsement of me that these things shouldn't be said. It is not me saying, I object to free speech. It is me saying, we are borrowing the platform of a bunch of people who have made rules for us. I have to respect these rules. It's an existential prior to me, because if I don't respect these rules, I'll get banned from this platform. But don't mistake this for Papa JF endorsing an optics-based strategy. And I think you know it, T.S. Apostolos. I think you know that you're strawmanning me there. Fuck you, T.S. Apostolos. Fuck you! A very moving story of 9 kids getting raped by this person. Single adoptive father of 9 charged with sexual abuse after teen. Son makes outcry on podcast. Jewish and proud, that was one of the kids somehow being featured, or I don't know exactly. This is a picture of the kids. And one of those kids, I've listened to the whole podcast. One of those kids called on a podcast about a month ago, end of January. And the podcast was kind of, and he was like, hey, I have this problem. Because the podcast was hosted by someone who had experience getting raped when they were young or abused. So he thought that they would be a good, resource. What should I do? You know, here I am with my 9 brothers, my 8 brothers, and we're all getting raped. And so it appears that again and again, these kids have tried to start cases against this adoptive father, and they have failed. He says that there was something like 8 investigations, 8 attempts at doing something about it, where the CPS was finding the dad not guilty, where there was even criminal prosecution happening where he was found not guilty. And yet you have a credible story here of the 17-year-old who was one of the brothers, who says, yeah, well, he's forcing us to have sex between one another and with him. And so it's absolutely shocking that this system that claims to be able to investigate people, the CPS, was fully, willfully blind in this case. And the poor 17-year-old boy was getting told by a lawyer, You can't bring this case because it's already been tried. But the fact is that there had been repeated sexual abuse after the old trial had failed. So when you have a supplementary sexual abuse happening after he was found not guilty, that is a separate event. You should be able to prosecute it. But the lawyer was probably somehow in the pocket of the adoptive father, and therefore was basically misguiding these children into, oh, you can't do anything about it. I believe, if I understand correctly what I've been told, the woman who was operating this podcast is Blind Skin Beauty, who just started a Twitter account. So apparently, so that confused me. It's like, what, she had a podcast, but she didn't have a Twitter account. Anyways, this has been all communicated to me by someone in our crowd who seems to understand this story and is trying to help her. She has a GoFundMe. So I decided to tweet about her GoFundMe because there was only $80 when I saw. And since I tweeted about it, we are at 1,000 USD. Now, I don't know this woman, so I'm not telling you, like, throw massive amounts of money at this woman. She's certainly going to do something useful with it. I have no clue. But if you'd like to contribute, she has a GoFundMe currently at 1,000 USD for a safer, secure home to relocate the Texas boys. Because 2 weeks ago, mid-February, the boy found the courage, thanks to his communication with the podcast, found the courage to go see the police, and there are currently more than 8 charges, I believe, on the man, on this man right here. So he's back to having charges against him for rape, indecent exposure, that kind of stuff. I don't know the exact content of the charges, but it's sexual abuse kind of stuff. So she has a GoFundMe. Need safe, secure home to relocate Texas boys. The GoFundMe is very poorly promoted, let me tell you. You have to tell your story in a GoFundMe. I see pictures and I see a text that is not even divided in paragraphs. It's like a big block of text. It's like, holy shit. Anyways, it seems that she is...
be secretive. There's so many...
Is it this girl, Blind Skin Beauty? There she is.
People that want to stick inside of the, you know, a shell so that they're, you know, they want to be invisible. They're invisible speakers. But I thank God that they're sending them to me because I'm going to speak up. I didn't promise anyone. I can't make promises to anyone that I'm going to keep anything away from the authorities to make sure that these kids are in right placement.
So she was explaining here that... that she intervened because the guy was kind of hesitant at communicating with the police. So she pushed it for it to happen, and it happened. And now there are charges against the men. So in any case, I think it's a decent campaign. And out of the various possibilities of things you could throw your money at, doesn't sound completely ridiculous to throw it there. Crazy Catman says, feels like a scam. Well, if it's a scam, they took the scam to the point of having this Jewish guy, 8 charges, officially registered in the Texas police system. So maybe it's a scam. Could be a scam in various ways. But it does seem that this man is getting... prosecuted for sexual crimes starting this middle of February. Hopefully he gets a cut on the scam if it's a scam. John Drake says, unfortunately, this father is the tip of the iceberg, I'm sure. My sister worked in the foster care sector. It's pedocentric for sure. It's amazing because they hate heterosexual males. They will totally lie about you in court to remove your own children from yourself. But when there's a pedo out there who wants to absorb the children of all these men who are denied rights over their own biological children, holy shit, do the pedos have it easy. It's insane. But that is the mentality of the intellectuals in academia that work in this whole child legal... child rights domain. They think that nature must be reassorted and that the world would be better if you raise random children, basically. You raise random children and the CPS will determine if you're a good parent, a good adoptive parent for the children you've been randomly assorted to, because those are children of the community. That's how they think. And it's sick. That's what leads to so many pedos. Silver Spider says, I don't know, Jeff. I'm starting to think evil actually exists. Yeah, you have to think that something like that exists. Look at the Tesla in FSD beta. It's quite impressive what the Tesla has to process for producing this natural driving, auto-driving experience. I don't trust auto-driving. I hate it. I think it's dangerous, ultimately. But you have to be amazed at the technology. Look at this. And look at the screen. Everything that this car understands, it's amazing. The car understands where other cars are. It understands where this car is. Understand that there's a stop there. Look at this. Understands that there's a car coming in the other way, takes a break, goes left, and here, capable of seeing cars arrive, and it's like, okay, now is a good time to go. Unbelievable. And look at this. This is a very passing street. All of the cars are detected. It's amazing. It sees all of the cars. Boom, boom, boom. Detecting it. I can't go now. I can't go now. I can't go now. And now, hop, we have an opportunity. Go. Wow. Just at the right time before the other car comes. Holy shit. Absolutely fantastic. I still wouldn't trust it, but absolutely fantastic. There was a good point made by our friend Mike Penovich from TRS on Elon Musk. He says, Elon Musk platforms anti-white racism by his own admission. He says the media is racist against white people. He sees anti-white racism for what it is, and he says he disapproves of racism for what it is, and yet he allows anti-white racism on Twitter while putting a hard ban on the National Justice Party and TRS. So he is effectively anti-white, and arguably he is doing more harm than people that hate whites openly. Either allow racist speech on Twitter or don't. But to say you're against anti-white racism while platforming it and shutting down pro-white opposition is cowardly, hypocritical, and downright evil. Absolutely good argument. Elon Musk has admitted he sees what a lot of the media does right now, even on Twitter, is anti-white, anti-Asian also. So how is it that it's surviving on your platform, which is supposed to go after the racist? And you're going after the racist, but only when it's the pro-white racists that are to be caught, then you make these permanent bans. But then you claim that the main problem of the media right now is anti-white racism. Which media have you ever banned from Twitter for anti-whiteism? There should be one. If you admit that the media is anti-white and they are using Twitter, there must be some of them violating the TOS of Twitter. Why don't we see it? It's because ultimately, Elon, although he sees clearly, he doesn't see clearly enough yet. Senus says, Asians are anti-white too, though. They tried to put black attacks against them on whites. I would say, Asians. Asians are pro-Asian. They are truly ethnocentric, and that's fine to me. Are they anti-white? Perhaps some of them. Perhaps some of the most extreme who are willing to put it on the back of white supremacy. But in general, I think the average Asian is just very, very pro-Asian. Goaway says, Jeff, you can be racist without breaking the TOS. You can be racist through lies of omission, for example. Well, then the question is, why is the opposition to this racism getting banned while the racism itself isn't getting banned? Scott Adams was teasing me all day on Twitter. He was asking, for example, is the press a hate group? And I was saying, it's getting closer. Can you feel it? Scott Adams has come with the conception of a hate group. So a hate group would be a group where there's a lot of hate. Is the press a hate group? Very interesting question. And ultimately, who are forming this hate group? That is the final question, isn't it? Biden admin proposes to block half of current gas range models. An efficiency proposal by the DOE would block half of current gas cooking appliances from the U.S. market, an analysis by the federal agency shows. Sinus says, I'm not really sure about that, Jeff. I think most of them, Asians, are really left, and the guys are bummed out because they are considered to be low in sexual market value. I wouldn't necessarily disagree with anything you've said there. Is there an Asian incelism? Perhaps. But I think that ultimately the Asian guys still have a good shot at reproduction. I think they've not been left behind at all. I think that sometimes the Asian female will want to date a white guy just to try. But it's more like a touristic adventure. Ultimately, you see a lot of Asian couples still. And that's what you see most. All right, so what else did we have before we conclude the show? How many Zoom jobs were actually useless? Elon Musk has now fired 3 out of 4 employees that worked at Twitter. 75% of the staff of 7,500. And yet, is the site and service suffering? Not so far as users can tell. It seems like it works better than ever. Absolutely. Fantastic what Elon Musk has been doing. It's a proof that other companies should do the same. Whatever says, Jeff, the redhead kid is the one who called into the podcast. Okay, I didn't know which of the kid it was. Okay, thank you for letting me know. Amazon employees can now borrow against their stock to buy homes. Amazon employees will soon be able to pledge company shares when purchasing a home under a new deal with digital lender Better.com. Better announced a new program called Equity Locker, allowing them to use stock as collateral for a down payment without selling. I think it's a great thing. There's a lot of questions around how do we facilitate home ownership. And if these employees are accumulating stocks, it might be advantageous to them not to have to sell them, but to use them as guarantee. A little bit what Elon Musk has been doing to acquire Twitter, to have his assets used as guarantees for loans. I'm happy that the Amazon employees are getting there. That it is a good advantage to have. Deadstar says, JF, the guy is Hispanic, LARPing as acidic. He had a name change many years ago. Okay, well, I don't know. You can feel that he's certainly not living the classical Jewish heterosexual life. I kind of had the impression that something was up. But okay, thanks for letting me know this. I don't know. I would have to check. I don't know anything about this guy other than there are charges against him now. Capitalism is broken. If record profit margins don't revert, profit margins are probably the most mean reverting series in finance. And if profit margins do not mean revert, then something has gone badly wrong with capitalism. Yeah, so it's like corporate profits somehow, through all the troubles we've been through, they keep going up and up and up. We are living in an artificial world. This is not how capitalism is supposed to go. They're supposed to go down, and then there are failures, and there's a cleaning of the economy. But no, it's like you should expect that a lot of companies have crashed, but it's not happening. Stephen Robinson says, breaking news reported by Disclose.tv on Twitter, King Charles evicting Harry and Meghan from Frogmore Cottage, leaving them without a home in the UK. Charles is offering the property to his brother, Prince Andrew. Well, it's been a while, that they had left, so I don't think there's anything surprising there. Hadn't they left for Canada? I don't know. I don't care. Philosoraptor says, hi, Jeff. Is IIQ developed or a gift you're born with? I'm asking if any human can be developed into 130 IQ with proper training from childhood. Well, I've been very clear about this. No. If we knew how to do it, we would do it. There are simply people who are impossible to bring above 80. Impossible to bring above 100. Impossible to bring above 120. Training, education has an influence, but mostly it seems to have an influence in how fast you will converge toward your adult IQ. In other words, if we're talking about 7 years old, and I train that 7 year old a lot, but I don't train that 7 year old much, you're going to measure a very big difference at 7 years old. But at the end, at their adult IQ, you're not going to have that much of an impact. So IQ is 80% inherited through genes, as demonstrated by the twin studies. And that is a minimum to me. You can't make someone 130 IQ by environmental causation. You simply cannot. So that is it for tonight. One last news item. The SPAC mania ends in bankruptcies and fire sales. The SEC's crackdown on SPACs, top investment banks, scaling back activity in the space, and mounting macroeconomic headwinds have led to a continued freeze and the start of a possible de-SPAC bankruptcy wave. So the SPACs are the setups that are like Truth Social. I believe it's a SPAC, if I understand correctly. It's the idea of you have a fund, you have a company that is created that does nothing other than it is the company that will eventually acquire or do something. So it's basically a startup kind of, or an acquisition startup. And it's been a trend apparently in the market where it's a major way in which companies are starting up now. Somehow the format of the SPAC is interesting to them. And that's how I believe Trump started Truth Social, with where the SPAC can be worth nothing until the acquisition is done. You know, it does nothing other than hold money, and then eventually it takes the thing. I think the system is getting punished for doing too much of those. And basically, there is a SPAC spam problem. There are too many SPACs developing, and at this point investors have difficulty telling between the good ones, the bad ones, and they end up throwing money at the whole thing, and there are parasites that ultimately want to drain that money into unviable enterprises. Lendold Guntram says, you can lose a lot of IQ by environmental causation, though gain a little bit, maybe 5 points or so, but lose them later on either way. You know, I was looking at how sometimes we see certain people beat up people in schools in videos in the last few weeks. We've seen so many of those videos. And I was like, how the heck do you want to keep a high IQ population if you get these massive head kicks as a child? Fidozoraptor sends a super chat. He says, did your parents have high IQ, JF? A very good question. I've actually never thought about it. My parents were certainly not educated like I am. My mother has a secretary professional diploma, did very good with it, you know, had a beautiful job that paid a lot, but it's still not a very high degree of education. My father had a soldering professional diploma also, not super high in terms of education. However, when I was testing my father's intelligence the most, I would say it was with his mathematical instinct when doing building, soldering, construction work. and where he would go, like, he would have in his head, he would be capable of juggling just instinctively with the equations for surface area, cylinders, because he was working on pipes. So he had all of this, and you could see that he had the mathematical potential. Even if it had never been developed into any sort of mathematical interest, when it came down to calculating surface area of cylinders, he was capable of juggling with the circle area, the perimeter, the surface area of the cylinder, 3D thinking, etc. So I would say my father must have been an undeveloped 110 to 120 IQ, based on how instinctively and naturally he was able to juggle with these concepts. And based also on the quality of his political discussion. Because when I became a teenager, eventually we were debating around the table, you know. And I was a Marxist leftist. I regret it, but that's what it is when you're young and naive. And he had pretty fine argumentation skills. So I have to place him above 110. And then could it have been developed? Perhaps it was not fully expressed because he never had an intellectual work of any kind pushing him, but somewhere above 110. And then my mother, I would say very similarly, I have to place her above 110 for sure. Because the way she would master language was really above average. Of course, she was a secretary, so it was her job to write letters for people. But even for a secretary, you go into a regular office, secretaries are clumsy, they are disorganized, they are not super professionals of semantics and everything. But she was very high level of French mastery, very high level to the point of not leaving a single error and to have a very flowing text in her writing. So I would say above 110, below 130. Both of my parents were above average for the white population. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you.